I'm going to be looking at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, and Mark chapter 7, 24 to 30. How many, I don't know, maybe none of you, I don't know, but sometimes we pray and we're waiting on answers from God. And sometimes we just don't receive that answer right away. I think there are some things that we can learn. Maybe pretty well all of us, I'm sure, have experienced some of the following. You want to get down the road, but the road is quite curvy and you're behind a slow driver. You have to slow down. You're in a hurry, but you have to slow down and drive behind this slow driver. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah. You have to slow down and wait. How about you're making an important phone call and all you get is a machine? The machine says, if you live within Canada, press 1. If you want English, press 2. If you have a complaint, press 3. If you have bad breath, you can hang up. And finally, you press all those numbers and you get another recording and it says, your wait time will be approximately 10 minutes. And finally, you'll get to that destination phone that you only to get another recording. I'm not able to take your call right now, but if you leave your name and number and a short message, I will return your call. Wait, wait, wait. You gotta wait. You like to wait? Or does it bother you? So you take the whole family and let's say you're driving to some place. Anybody eat at McDonald's? Harvey's? A&W? And you decide that you're going to go in the drive-thru and you order that juicy hamburger. There's several people in the car with you. And so you make all the orders and you pay for all the orders. But when you get to the pickup window, everything is there except your order. So you're told to go and park. And they'll bring it out to you. Oh, you wait again. How about going to the Atlantic Superstore? You waited for what seems like forever, and somebody ahead of you, they have to do a price check. And that takes 15 minutes. And then you wait for them to pay, and they take out a hammer and they break open their piggy bank and they got to count all the money and you're in a hurry and woo! I know I'm exaggerating a little, but you get the message. We are constantly waiting. In fact, I was thinking about, apparently there's some of these lawnmower races. No, apparently there are some there this afternoon. You know what I'm interested in, those lawnmower races? They're not waiting on one another. When you're getting close to the finish line, you don't stop at the finish line. I prefer you go ahead. They want to be the first to cross the line. And maybe that's some of the feelings that we have because we don't like to wait when we want to be the first. I get that. So we are constantly waiting, whether it's a traffic light, stuck in traffic, waiting at the dentist or the doctor's office. Wait, wait, wait. We got fax machines. Now we have emails. We got microwaves. I think they spoil us a little bit because we want immediate service. I mean, let's face it, 10 minutes without electricity, you know, we want action. We want that. We need power, right? We're so used to it. We expect it. So whenever the operator puts you on hold, we feel like we've been deprived. But what about when God is slow to respond to our prayer that we've prayed? I want to chat about that for What if God puts us on hold? What do you do when you have to wait on God? You know, there's a portion of Scripture, in fact, the Psalm 27. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, and I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle," get this, "sacrifices of joy." You know, David is busy running for his life. He's sacrifices of joy. "I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy up also upon me and answer me." When you say, "Seek my face," my heart said unto you, "Thy face will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not. Neither forsake me, O Lord, in my salvation." I just realized I'm using the King James Version of it, just flipped. I usually read out of the NLT. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witness have rise up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord." Wow. It may be easy for me to preach, "Wait on the Lord." But when you're going through the stuff in your life, you want to say, "Don't talk to me about waiting," because we already know we don't like to wait. Remember hearing a message years ago, and I was actually a priest. My memory served me correctly. It was done by T.D. Jakes, talk about waiting on the Lord, and he said there are different kinds of waiting. One, you just kind of wait, and you just kind of wait for something else to happen. But the other kind of waiting is you put a towel over your arm, and you're a waiter. In other words, you're serving somebody. And I thought, that's really good. Because sometimes in our waiting, we want to sit back expecting God. You see, we're expecting God to do whatever he wants to do. Or else we can put a towel on our arm and get ready to serve somebody or help somebody. It's not easy. It's easy to preach, especially if you're the one that's waiting. Tell it to somebody who's lost a loved one. Tell it to a person who's been told by a lifelong spouse that they're leaving. do not plan to come back. Is it easy to wait? It's easy to wait if you're the one that's not going through it. Tell it to a child who has to live with in the midst of abuse. Tell it to a person who has bad news from the doctor. What do you do when you have to wait? I mean wait. What do you do when you wait on God? When, if I can say it like this, when God puts you on hold. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, and I'm reading out of the NLT this time. We're going to read about a lady who did not get an immediate response from the prayer that she had. In fact, we're going to discover that Jesus was silent and did not immediately respond to her prayer request. Goes like this, verse 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Verse 23, and Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. And his disciples urged him, "Send her away. Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all of her begging." And Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said, "your faith is great. Your request is granted in your daughter." And her daughter was instantly healed. Out of Mark chapter 7, it's somewhat the same story, just put a little differently, and it's not going to take long. I will read it as well. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And Jesus left Galilee, went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in. But he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Thessalonica, Jesus told her, "First I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." So she replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps which fall from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demons have left your daughter." And when she arrived home, her little girl was lying quietly in bed and the demon was gone. See, Jesus, along with his disciples, were traveling northward, about 50 miles to a town called Tyre and another town called Sidon. It was in this area that they had stopped at a home. It may have been a relative or a friend of one of the disciples. In fact, when you read the account, it's quite interesting that there is a few of the disciples that were Gentiles. At any rate, in Mark's record, they were in a house. They were not in a Jewish country. They were in a Gentile country. The Jews and the Gentiles did not have much to do with each other. So Jesus must have taken some time to show his love and concern for the Gentiles And he must have been there taking some kind of a holiday. Many years, the only distinction made in the Bible. Years ago, you were either Jew or you were a Gentile. But after Jesus had formed the church, he made it clear to all people that regardless if you were black, white, Gentile, Jew, man, woman, salvation is made available to all people. Jesus did not die just for the Jew. This home was probably Jewish, with some Jewish traditions and customs. They were probably having a meal together. There may have been some young children that were there playing with their puppy. And as they were eating, some crumbs fell from the table. I can just imagine seeing that little pup eating the crumbs. Something had happened for Jesus to use the illustration that he did. While in this home, a lady from the area, which Matthew calls a woman of Canaan, she comes begging to Jesus to deliver her daughter from a demon. The word Canaan really doesn't say much to you and me, but to Matthew's audience, the Jews, it meant one thing. To be Canaan meant one thing. Enemy. Long-standing enemies with the Jews. And here, Jesus was with his disciples, spending time in enemy territory. But this woman that comes into this very house and begs for Jesus to help, she addresses Jesus with a title that really only a Jew would understand. What does she say? Lord, Son of David. Lord, Son of David. That was a title for the Messiah. And what's interesting is Gentile people really did not have that kind of a belief at that time. This woman had grown up in a country where they had a belief in many gods. God of the sun, God of the rain, God of the wind, God for this, God for that. This woman grew up with believing some of that. All of those multiple gods she knew could not help her. She had a daughter that was severely tormented by a demon. She needed help. Her daughter needed help. Somewhere along the way, the name of Jesus was brought up and she must have heard about Jesus from somewhere. She must have heard that title, Son of David, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior. And she may have wanted just to take advantage of this moment. She says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Where in the world would she get those thoughts from? How in the world did she come up with that? But the scripture says that Jesus answered her not a word. He put her on hold. For a moment, he puts her on hold. Can you just imagine? I can't imagine the length of silence that was had right at that moment. I personally believe that this woman repeatedly makes the request, repeatedly begs for help. The verse says that the disciples urged Jesus to send the woman away, for she cries out after us. She's annoying. There's silence. Jesus does not speak a word. What do you do when God puts you on hold? Everyone seemingly desires an answer. I get it. But what do you do when God puts you on hold? What do you do? Well, I would like to give you some suggestions if you don't mind. Keep on trusting. Keep on trusting Jesus. You got to keep on trusting. You got to keep on trusting the one that's been faithful in the past. I don't know about this present moment, but I do know what God is, that God is, has been faithful to me throughout the years, throughout my yesterdays. He's been, I just keep on trusting. In fact, we used to sing this little song, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are." Have you heard this before? Who is it that sees you through? Jesus will see you through. Sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night. Every day, all the way, let us sing, sing, sing. Oh, and sometimes we find it so hard to sing when we're going through it. I must keep trusting Jesus. He has been always there in my yesterdays, my last week, my last month. He's been there all this last year and the years before that. God's been faithful. I've never known a case that was too difficult. In fact, we say it often. With God, all things are possible. With men, it seems impossible. But with God, all things. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, all things are possible with God. If you don't have somebody sitting beside you. Turn around and say, without God, all things are possible. I've never known a case yet God can't handle. But this woman, she gets the silent treatment. Does that mean Jesus is uncaring? Does it mean he's unconcerned? Absolutely not. This woman of Canaan did not walk away. She kept on asking, trusting that he would answer. She believed that Jesus would eventually speak. And that's what we've got to do. We keep on trusting. Because he's been faithful in the past. Because he will eventually speak his word. When God puts you on hold, just remember that God loves you. He has a word for you. I get it. We have our insecurities. Sometimes our insecurities hold us back. In fact, I would submit to you this, that sometimes some of the problems that we have in our life is because we have an insecure relationship with God. We don't know whether he's going to be there or not. You see, we haven't proven it, perhaps. Well, hang on. Stay on course. You may not get the word immediately, but eventually he will speak to every need. Keep on praying. God will speak to you. Keep on reading the word. Keep on drawing close, and he will speak with you. In fact, the Bible says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Don't think that you're the only one in this thing. Many Bible characters throughout the centuries wondered when God would speak. Job lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his confidence with he lost the confidence of his wife. He lost his wealth. God allowed Satan to touch his life, and all those things seem to come upon him. God never told Job the reason why. Job never asked, I wonder why God's not speaking to me. What about Abraham? He was 100 years old before he had his firstborn son. How many want to wait that long? For many years, Abraham wondered, not why, but when. When will my son come? When will my wife give birth? For many years, Abraham kept on believing God, even when God placed Abraham on hold. The prophets wondered, how long, how long, how long? When will this Messiah come? But the last book in Malachi said that there was a period that's called the silent years. When will the Messiah come? And in that last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, there was a period of 400 years of silence. Nothing new was brought up. No new revelation. In that last book to the first book of the New Testament, 400 years of silence. It's almost like God put the whole world on hold. In the Hebrews, it says God spoke in the last days to us by his son Jesus. So while we were waiting, you keep on trusting because he will eventually speak. There was one time when God did not speak, and that was when Jesus hung on the cross. And Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus did not get a response in that present moment, but he was committed to his heavenly Father. The scripture says, Father, this is what Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. So far, we've heard two voices in our reading. We've heard the voice of a mother, Lord, have mercy on me. And then we've heard the other voices of the disciples, send her away. But Jesus will not send her away. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus was not saying that the blessings of God are only for Israel. Jesus was not saying that salvation was only for the Jews. He was saying that God had sent him first to offer salvation to the Jews first. In fact, when you read Matthew chapter 10, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, I'm reading this out of the King James, by the way. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. Now the names of the disciples were these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose name was Thaddeus, Simon, Listen to this. Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who was to betray him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans. You're not to enter there, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you see? So Jesus was calling his disciples and sent them to preach to Jews only. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believes. What does it say? To the Jews first. And also to the Greek. We're not talking about superiority here. We're talking about priority. Do you see that? He's not saying the Jews are superior. He's saying he has a priority. We don't often see the big picture. In fact, just this past week I was dwelling on this and I got thinking about being on a boat. And you're out in the middle of the water, and I've actually experienced this where the fog had come in on you. And in the fog, you don't know where you're going. So you have to, you know, your only guidance is the way that the wind is going. But the wind can change. You see. From our perspective, she's not good. But you see, from heaven's perspective, God's global positioning system. A little humor there. From God's perspective, from the heavenly perspective, he sees the whole circumstance that we do not see. We look through our set of eyes out. You see? It's like looking at a map with a magnifying glass, and you're looking through the magnifying glass, and we want this thing magnified. We want to see where it is we're going, but we only see that piece through that magnifying glass. We don't see the big picture. Well, it's not about superiority, but about priority. And when you look at it in that way, it makes complete sense. Reach your own folks first. The early church were told to begin in Jerusalem before going into the uttermost parts of the earth. Some folks are ready to go to Africa to be missionaries, but they will not share the gospel with their own families. Jesus' statement is really clear. Let's go to Israel, the lost sheep, the lost sheep. He was not saying some are lost and some are saved, but the entire nation of Israel was lost. Brings us to the next point. What did I say? First of all, we trust, keep on trusting. The second one, when God puts you on hold, take inventory where you are, where you stand with God. Where do you stand with God? Where did Israel stand with God? Jesus said they were lost. Someone might say, well, oh, okay. What difference does it matter if I'm Jewish or Gentile or anything else? Someone might say, I'm a church member. That should count for something. I go to church. I sing in church. That should count for something. The woman's approach to Jesus, don't miss it. It's very easy to miss. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She came, if I can say it like this, with a Jewish approach. His disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. She's not like us. She's trying to be, but she's not Jewish. Jesus said, I've only come to the lost sheep of Israel. But the next thing the woman says is, Lord, help me. She got down on her knees and worshiped him. She dropped the title. Jesus says, Son of David. She dropped her Jewish approach. She got on her knees in helplessness and in a humble way. She said, Lord, help me. When God puts you on hold, maybe we should just take a little inventory to see where we stand with God. What are you doing? What are you trying to hold up before the Lord to gain his approval? Jesus was not meeting her based on her nice words, on her gracious ways, on the way that she was greeting the Lord. Remember the way that Jesus met Nicodemus, if you recall? Nicodemus approached Jesus with the title, "No man can do these things except God be with him." That's nice. Jesus said, "That's nice, but you need to be born again. Your outstanding place where you are, whether in the church or in the community, really, really won't, that's not a good, we got to come through Christ. We come, all of us do. We do not come to Jesus through a Jewish door. We do not come to Jesus through a Baptist door. We do not come to Jesus through a Methodist door. We don't come to Jesus through a Pentecostal door. We come to Jesus through the sinner's door. That's the only way we come to Jesus. So when God keeps you, when God puts you on hold, you keep on trusting. Take personal inventory of where you stand with God. And here's another one. Surrender your life to Him. Jesus wasn't being disrespectful when He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." It is not right that Gentiles were. Okay, Gentiles were often referred to as dogs by the Jews. Jesus was not calling her a dog by using a word that was often given to the Gentile. But this woman said, "I know, I get it. I'm called a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know we've got a nickname. But that should not stop me from receiving from you." She didn't care what others would call her. She was willing to even have the Lord use that derogatory name, that embarrassing name, that degrading name. It didn't matter to her. Her position was that she needed the Lord. She was desperate for the Lord. She had a daughter that was desperately hurting. With this lady, there was no strings attached. Have there ever been times that when you've placed certain conditions, you've placed certain conditions on how God is going to meet your need? Have you ever said, "I need your help, but I need you to answer this way. This is the answer that I need." Wow. Sometimes that's we miss out on the greatest blessings because we don't want to be humbled. And sometimes we are set on our own, we set our own limitations on where or how God answers. Not this woman. You can call me what you want. You can place me anywhere at the table you please. You can put me on the table. You can put me under the table with the dogs. I'm hanging on. I need a blessing. I need a word. I need you to meet this need. I'll take the crumbs if necessary. I'm depending on you. Whenever you believe God has put you on hold, keep on trusting. You may not have the answer right now, but Jesus won't forsake you. Take a close look at where you stand with the Lord. What is the Lord saying to you about your life? Are you trusting Him for salvation and healing and deliverance, whatever it is? Are you holding on to someone or something else other than Jesus? Commit your way unto the Lord. Let him have his way with your entire life. Surrender all that you have to Jesus. Allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Based on the Word of God, whenever you are on hold, if you will commit all to Jesus, he will speak to your personal lead. He will speak peace to your heart. He will give you strength. He'll give you wisdom. In fact, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it. God is, Jesus, when before he left, he left his presence to be with us. He'll give you courage. Even when you're forsaken by your family and friends, whatever the need is, Jesus is all you need. If it's salvation, if it's comfort, he's our comforter. If it's advice, he's our wisdom. If it's healing, he's our healer. If it's wisdom, he's also a teacher. And you have the Holy Spirit that'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Jesus Christ is the right answer for whatever is wrong in your life. As a congregation, you may feel like you've been put on hold. You'll need to come to the very principles that we're talking about. And I've said before, just because things are delayed doesn't mean you are denied. What God's looking for and searching for is the heart. See, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, the heart is. The answer, or the question is, will you place your faith in Jesus? Jesus said to this woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted. Personally, I believe when God puts us on hold, it's like a test. It's a measure, if you will, whether we are trusting him or not. He already knows the outcome. He already knew about Abraham and that Abraham would be willing to sacrifice his son. He already knew. When you have to wait for the answer, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If I remember the song right, it goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Here he is. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do you know that song? Sing it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's sing it one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things are strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Can we stand together and sing it as a prayer unto Him? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily. Let's sing that verse again. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. And I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. And I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Savior, I surrender all. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this moment. We thank You, Lord, for every season that You have us go through. We thank You, Lord, for how You have led, directed. Oh, thank You, Lord, that You promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Your presence is so real. Your word declares, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. So, oh God, we put our trust in You. We have our faith in You. And we surrender our circumstances and our things in our life. Even if You put us on hold, we thank You that even though we walk through the valley, as it were, of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for Thou art with us. Your rod and Thy staff, they comfort us. Glory to Jesus. So, Lord, I ask that You would go with Your people today, that You would guide them and guard them in their going out and their coming in, their rising up and their sitting down. I ask, O God, that the things that they put their hands to, they will recognize that Your presence is with them. Hallelujah. And those moments when they need some encouraging, I thank You that You are the very strength of our life. So I thank you that you are not only with them, but many of them that have come to you have you living in them. Help us to be what you desire us to be. And help us to say those things that you want us to say. In Jesus' mighty name, let's say together, amen. Thank you. God bless you, folks. Enjoy your day in Jesus' name.